And a whole number of questions started coming up in my mind. And I was thinking l'chatchila to come to a conclusion with Drachei Adachinayam, the Chol Nesivei Seah Shalom, and continue with the next pasuk, which of course everybody knows. Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba, V'Somcheha Me'ushar. Instead, I realize we have to deal with something that I think is not only kedai, but it's a foundational, yesoidistic understanding of Hashkafas HaTorah. And that is, Rav Soloveitchik once, I don't know if he made up this word, some people are choshish that he made it up, but in any case, he said that Yiddishkeit is not eudaimonic. You is good in Greek. And daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N, like demon actually, is a spirit. It's not meant to make you feel good. That's what he said. I was thinking to myself, there are many halachas that seem to corroborate that. And there are many aspects of Yiddishkeit and details of Yiddishkeit that seem to corroborate that. Rosh Hashanah doesn't come and ask you specifically, do you enjoy this mitzvah? Would you like to do this mitzvah? Are you happy doing the mitzvah? There are chiyuvim, there are isurim, and sometimes they are not at all that pleasant at the moment. A person could be fasting and he could feel very sick, not to the point of pikuach nefesh, he continues to fast. Ra'isi dimas ha'ashukim ve'ein lohem menachem. A person is born a mamzer because of an illicit relationship that is not his fault, that he had nothing to do with, and it, of course, occurred before he was born. And out of that relationship, he was born. So the question is, of course, why should he be a mamzer? And why should all of those halachas cleave to him? And where is the pleasantness of Drachei HaDarchei Noyam? Another question. You have a kayin, became a Baal Tshuva, and he discovers that the wife that he's living with, he can't live with her anymore. Where's the Drachei HaDarchei Noyam? He's in love with her. She's wonderful. They may even have some children together. I'm not talking psak halacha, the details could sometimes be such that, but there are certain cases where he can no longer live with her. V'chaheina v'chaheina. In the myriad of mitzvahs and isurim, midi raisa, midi rabbonon, every one of us could think in the spur of a moment of a handful of them that do not seem to come so easily. Hagor ba'atzmacha, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. A person learns the third perek of the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, which we've mentioned countless times, and the Rambam describes a scene of real and genuine deprivation and suffering. And he concludes one of those halachos with the very famous Maimon Chazal from Pirkei Avos, Lefum Tzara Agra. Now how do you define Lefum Tzara Agra in the context of a eudaimonic Torah that wants you to feel good? So I have to imagine the schar, and I have to feel good about being miserable. No, really, that's what it is. I have to feel good about being miserable. From tzara agra. So we see clearly that what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants and expects of us is not necessarily something that's going to keep us happy all the time. It's not a euphoric kind of thing like drugs. It's not a drug. It's not a drug. Even more than that, let's not think of ourselves individually, but collectively as a Klal Yisrael. What is the Lashon of the Ram Sefer Kedusha? When the Rambam describes how a person who is not Jewish comes to be Mizgaya, the Rambam describes Geirus in Hilchas Yisurei Biyah. And in those Yisurei Biyah halachis, he talks about how a person comes to become a Ger and how you're supposed to speak to him. And when the Rambam describes Ketzad Mekablim Geirei Atzedek, is the beginning of the 14th Perek of Yisurei Biyah. Ketzad Mekablim Geirei Atzedek, Kishe Yovoi Lizgayer, V'yivtiku Acharov. The first thing you have to do is check out his background and determine the specific story that comes along with his Maisa Geirus. Is he intent upon becoming Jewish for ulterior purpose? And then you're supposed to reject him. The Yivdiku Akrab, they check it out, they send the detectives to make an investigation, below Yimtzu U'ilo, and they find no such ulterior motive. He really means L'shem Shamayim. Like Achilles Hager, the nephew of Hadrian. Oimrim Loi, the first thing you say to him, after you've checked him out, and after you know that he's sincere, but there's a process, a procedure. In that procedure, what do you say to the ger, the potential ger, the guy who's coming to convert? Mara iso shebosoli is gayer. Let's translate it into the English colloquial, almost slang. What are you, out of your mind? That's what we tell him. Mara isa shabosol izgayim. Iata yoideya she yisrael bizman hazeh devuyim. I want you to count the word. Devuyim, udechufim, umesuchofim, umeturofim, v'yisurim boyin aleyem. Someone once asked me, what's the translation of these words? I said, what difference does it make? It's very bad. So you have to tell him, apelle de gazah. He's coming, and he has this idea, maybe that it's, says gishmak, says this vitzuka. And you have to tell him, says bit of a gal. It's a pelle de gazah. It really is. And he has to answer an amazing answer. What's amazing about it is that you see from these few words that he responds, and that he's obligated to respond, for you to acknowledge his sincerity and proceed with the process of Geirus. He has to say Yodeya Ani, but that's not enough. He has to add the words Ve'eini Kedai, I'm not worthy. You have to be worthy of having a Golus like ours. You have to be worthy of getting such pech. So really what the Rambam is trying to say, of course, is based on a Chazal, which is at the end of Medrash and Megillas Eicha. The pasuk that ends Eicha is Ki im ma'os ma'astanu katzavta aleinu ad mi'oid. And upon this pasuk, which we repeat Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha, and some explain that the reason that we repeat Hashiveinu is because we do not want to end with such a negativity, and so we say again Hashiveinu, which is the next to the last pasuk, and that's how we end. So nimtza that we repeated the pasuk, so we shouldn't have the sour taste in our mouths of ma'os ma'astanu katzavta aleinu ad mi'oid. Comes along Rish Lakish, and he says as follows: Im me'isa ein tikva, im ketzef yesh tikva, shekol hakoyes soifay lehisratzos. He says, if you are talking about me'isa, which is total contempt, total rejection, ein tikva, there's no hope. But if it's not me'isa, but ketzef, anger, then there's hope, because whoever gets angry, eventually he calms down, he makes up, and they become the best of friends once again. You have to understand something very interesting. Me'isa and Ketzef are not just two different things. They're opposites. And I'll explain to you. They're two people that were working for a boss. And whatever the reasons were, they deserve certain criticisms. They weren't doing the job properly. He calls them both in, and one after the other he speaks to them. And one of them, he screams at him for 30 seconds, hands him his check for the week, and says, get out. The other one, he also hands him his check, and he says, get out. But after screaming at him for an hour, the second one comes to the first one in the locker room when they're collecting their things to go home for good, and he says, I don't understand why you're so lucky. He says, I got a Musa Shmuz, the likes of which you can't even imagine. And you got out of there in 10 seconds. So the other fellow says, I don't understand you. You're so stupid. Why is he wasting his time with you if he doesn't want you back? I'll bet you the bottom dollar that tomorrow he's going to call you up that you should return. Me, he doesn't want Bechlal, so why should he waste his breath? And Kach Hava, if the Baruch Shalom is so busy with us, says Rish Lakish, all these centuries, one clap after another, one moment of anger after another, it can only be because Sofel is Ratzais. You look at all the other civilizations, everybody says this, and it's something that's kedai to think about. When the Greeks were playing their game, it was a combination of China and Iran and the United States and England. Greece at that time was totally ascendant, and everybody was dreaming and hoping and praying that they would learn the Greek language and the Greek culture, and you can't even imagine. You cannot imagine something like that. And in certain strange way, what's happening now with the internet, that it's making a global village of the world, well, at least in the Mediterranean world, which was the world at the time, there was a global sense, because the Greek language and Greek culture captured everybody. In Latin, there's an expression, Graeca capta ferum victorem capit, which means that even though the Romans conquered Greece, Graeca, Greece, was capta, captured, but they themselves captured their fierce conqueror. Because the Greeks and Greek culture and Greek language, and, you know, it mamish spread like a wildfire, and dafka through Rome. because they were great administrators and they had a tremendous kayak to spread the far and length and breadth all of the ideas that they were poisoned with, ki'ilu, by the Greeks. And they took it lock, stock, and barrel. There are certain tkufas in history where things like that happen. For example, there was one tkufa that if you didn't speak French in the Russian court, you were a barbarian. Plus, what's wrong with Russian? Nobody speaks French in the Russian court today. There's also no Russian court today. Abba Lamaisa, this whole concept of Greek, you don't understand what Greek is unless you yoyrit a little bit into the Indian and you understand this was the future, this was the world, this is where it was at. Bimizokt. And there's this few stupid Jews that are not reconciled to it. And if it wouldn't be for them, we wouldn't be here, like we said the last time. But Lamaisa, the bottom line is, the Vuyim Schuyim, whatever the Rambam says over there, the Yisurim Bayin Aleim, we're the only ones that are here. They're gone, and I'll tell you frankly, totally forgotten. We have a few words in English to remember that by, and if you're a doctor, you have to know a few more. That's where Greek is right now. That's where it is. Greece, if you understand that, you understand what it means that he has to answer Eini Kedai. Says this kind of Tevuyim Schuyim, so Shaloi Keder Chateva, how come we're so battered? How come we're still around? The Torah says the Eibishter is waiting patiently for his children to return. Im Me'isa Ein Tikva, Im Ketzef Yesh Tikva, is an explanation of how it is that Yirmiyo saw fit to end Eicha on such a sour note. Zokt Rish Lakish, it's not a sour note. Not if you understand the history of Klal Yisrael properly. And that's exactly what the Goy has to say when he wants to become a Jew. Yoideani ve'eini kedai. Who says, I am worthy to enter into such a history, to enter into such a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. But everyone will be maskim that the roller coaster ride is nishkoshet. It's still Dvuyim Schufim Yisurim Boyim Aleihem. It's still the Fum Tzahara Agra, even in the best of times. So where is your Drachecha Darcheinoyam? That was my question. So I had originally intended that today we would start with the Halachas of Darcheinoyam. For example, the Gemara in Masechah Sukkah. Why should I enter into complicated inyonim of Yibum and Chalitza, where they also use Drachecha Darcheinoyam? Sukkah. The Gemara wants to know what's a Hados. And there was a prickly hadas, you know, roses, they have thorns. So when you have thorns and you want to grab the rose to smell it, you can cut your hand, sometimes pretty badly. So they ask, what it may be such a plant? They say, no, it has thorns. And Rashi says, right, to be mekayim the mitzvah is chaytech es yada. So that's why it can't be that min, hirduf, or whatever it was called. Why? Because drachecha darcheinoyam is a chapela de gazach. It can't be a min because you're going to cut your hands a little bit. So the Baruch Shalom doesn't want you to cut your hands when he's doing the mitzvah of lulav and esrik. Because drachecha darcheinoyam. Because there's ways, are ways of pleasantness. So how do you reconcile all of this? So before we started with the halachos, I was thinking to myself to speak a little bit about this, and then I realized that it really behooves us, since Be'ikar, this is Mishlei, but it's Be'ikar Hashkafa. That's what it is. That we should look a little bit deeper into the whole yesod of what mitzvahs are for. So which address does a person go to for something like that? There are many svarim that you could go to. But one of the greatest and the most classic, of course, is the Maharal Miprag. So the Maharal Miprag wrote many svarim. But the Maharal Miprag wrote one sefer particularly about Kabbalah Satayra. The sefer on Shavuos on Kabbalah Satayra is called the Tiferes Yisrael. And when you get to the later prokim, Perik Tes, Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, you see clearly that he's speaking about Maimer Harsinai, and Naseh V'Nishma, and Aseres HaDibros. But from Perik Aleph, he talks about the concept of mitzvahs, the concept of mitzvah v'aisa versus eina mitzvah v'aisa, why you need such a plethora of mitzvahs, why do you need so many mitzvahs? Let's concentrate on a few mitzvahs and do them well, and so on and so forth. And he discusses the whole inyan of the purpose of mitzvahs, and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives mitzvahs, And he also wants to know, are mitzvahs really logical? Are some logical and some not logical? And what's the purpose of those that we consider not logical? And he has very definite perspectives, which I think are very important for us to know. Besides being a godly ador in his time, but he's one of the greatest masters of Hashkafa, and the particular prokim that were relevant to this background for Drocha Adar Chenoyam, and is it eudaimonic or is it not, and how do you explain Yisurim Bar Naleim Alefum Tzara Agra, and so on, is Perik Hey through Perik Ches. Hey, Vav, Zayin, and Ches. Four prokim into Feres Yisrael. For Rambam Pirish, Maseches Makis, Vezel Shoinai, Meikrei Ha'emuna Batayra, Ki Keshe Yikayim Odom Mitzvah Min Tayag Mitzvahs Koroi V'Kohoigen, V'loi Shiteif Im Kavonosa Mi Kavonosa Oilom, Ela Sheyas Oysa Me'ava Kamo Shebi'arti Lecha, Hinei Zocha L'Chai Oilom. He says, to properly be Zoycha T'Chai Oilom Abba, you have to do mitzvahs and you have to do them with the right kavonos, meaning, for no ulterior motive. It means, like he describes, as he describes in the 10th parak of Tshuva, which we learned, this is Avoda Me'ava. And the Rambam says that it's Yas also Me'ava, Hinei Zocha L'Chai Oilom Valze, Oma Rab Chananya, Ka Mitzvahs B'Yoysam Harbe, I Efshar Shlo Yasa Ha'odam B'Chayav Achas Me'hina Al Maskunto V'Al Shlei Musa. There's an explanation of Rotzah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Reb Chananya, he means Reb Chananya ben Akasha. Everyone is familiar with this because we say it in the context of Pirkei Avos. Reb Chananya ben Akasha, Oymer Rotzah Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Zakai, says Israel, L'fikach Hir Bolohem Torah Mitzvahs. He wants to know, L'Zakai, says Israel, L'fikach Hir Bolohem Torah Mitzvahs. A person could ask a very simple question. Instead of being L'Zakai, says Israel, this can come back to haunt us. Because after all, there are so many things to do. There's so many opportunities to go wrong. There's so many things to fail at. So why is Lizako says Yisrael here Bolehem Torah Mitzvahs? So the Rambam answers this question and explains what Reb Chananya ben Akasha is trying to say. He says, since there are so many different kinds of mitzvahs, there's always going to be your mitzvah, the mitzvah that you do to perfection, the mitzvah that you do best. And that mitzvah will be the vehicle upon which you will ride to Chayei Olam Haba. And that's what the Rambam says. I efshar shlo yasa ha'odam b'chayof achas mehena al maskunta, according to its fundamentals, v'al shlei musa, and to its perfection. U'ba'asiyas oysa ha'mitzvah tichye nafshoi ba'oysa ma'aseh. U'mimashe yoyra al ikor zeh. Mashashal Reb Chanina ben Travyoin Ma'ani L'Chai Yoylam Abba V'heishiv Ha'meishiv Klum Ma'ise Bo Liyotcha Kloim Asisa Mitzvah Kehoigen V'heishiv Kinizdamna Loi Mitzvah Tzedoka Al Ashlemus V'zocha Bo L'Chai Yoylam Abba Ad Kan Dvarav. The Rambam brings what appears to be at first a very strange Shakla V'tarya, a strange dialogue. Reb Chananya ben Travyoin was the God L'Ador. It was from the Asara Arugei Malchus. Reb Chananya ben Tragian had a tremendous array of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim to project forward and to bring him l'chai yoylam abba. What is he asking? Ma'ani l'chai yoylam abba. But more than that, so you'll say it's his anivus or whatever. But then they ask him a question, you know, if you want to know if you are zoicha to chai yoylam abba, tell me a story. Did you do anything unusual? I have to do something unusual for chai yoylam abba. So the Rambam says it doesn't mean unusual in the sense that it was something that was not likely to be done or that was too difficult to be done or anything like that. He says it means it was done to perfection. He says when you do a mitzvah to perfection, that mitzvah vaults you, catapults you to Chayei Olam Haba level. And that is the Rambam's explanation of the story of Reb Chananya ben Travyoin. And what he interprets Reb Chananya ben Akasha's statement, so that there will always be an opportunity somewhere in that Hir Bolehem for you to do something to perfection, and whenever you do a mitzvah of Hashem to perfection, you are zoicha to chayei olam haba. Very interesting thesis. Of course, the immediate question is, what? Well, that's also a question. That's a good question. But I would ask a different question. If I am told by my boss to do 10 different tasks throughout the day, and I do nine of them very shlemazeldik. And he suffers for it, as it were. I mean, you know, it's not done properly. You know, instead of putting a 44-cent stamp on the letter, I wasn't paying attention, and I put a 40-cent stamp on the letter, and the letter will come back. And the check that, I mean, you can imagine all kinds of ramifications. And you know, the boss's wife didn't get the happy birthday card. You know, the ramifications of that. So Lamaisa, if you have one thing that you did for the boss to perfection, so he takes a look at the list, what's the boss going to say? Oh, you are the best worker I've ever had in my entire life, because you did something to perfection. So what's the pshat? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to me, pick one of these, like you said, pick one of these and do it right, and you picked one that's good for you, that you feel comfortable with, to be able to accomplish, even with Mesiras Nefesh, and without any negiyas and pnias, and without any ulterior motives of any kind, that's wonderful. Then you aced it, as they say. But if you're supposed to do all 10, what is the tayelus of doing one to perfection? It's a pella. That the Ram, not so much a pella the question, as much as the Ram doesn't address the question. So turns out that Irba Lehem Torah Mitzvahs is actually, right back to where we started, a danger for us. So how is it that he calls it L'zakos Es Yisrael? Teima al zeh. Ki eich yizbalu dvarav. This is now the Maharal Miprag talking. Eich yizbalu dvarav. That which the Rambam said in his Pirush HaMishnayos in Makkos, how does that suffer the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Tazayin Amid Beis Behedya? Daliba de kuli alma barayv averis liyom hadin nidin be Gehenim. V'hasam ayri lo olam haba. We're talking about olam haba when we talk about Gehenim. Doka amat tzadikim gemurim nechtavim l'chayi olam haba. V'eich yistah Gemara aruch. So he says he doesn't understand. One he did to perfection, and the rest of them he didn't do at all, or he didn't do them properly. The Gemara says he's going straight to Gehenim. So what's the pshat? And then we could add, you know, a person happens to be a rotzeach on the side, but he gives a lot of tzedaka. So tzedaka tatzel mimavas has a limit. It can only go so far. So what do you mean? He did tzedaka to perfection?
The big problem is the thieves who give tzedaka.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. So for eich yista gemara aruch v'im yoyim adohad aminu shafilu b'mitzvah achas zoychel olam haba haynu sha'oysa mitzvah achas aval oyosa shuma veira im kein ein kan lahagdil schaa klal the soif kasha yesh lem harbe mitzvah safilu shiasa harbe chatoyim yu chatoyim achriim v'im rotza ramam kasha osa mitzvah loyosa shum chet kenegat zeh v'vada kidvar of kein hu. He says, of course, if a person does one mitzvah and it doesn't do any averis ever, so of course he'll be zoicha. But that's not a big chiddush. Bevada kidvar of kain uva davar zemishin of pshuta perkam the kedushin kolosim mitzachas mitivin loy umarichin lo yomav v'noichol haaretz v'afal gab demukil osham kishos mitzachas yisera al mechza avaynais koshken sheish lul mivizev sheimotsim mitzachas v'loy osar shum chait shezoichol loy lamabo achim kain ein tzorich l'davar zemash shekosav shos mitzachas l'shitif imo kavona acheres. So if Sif Lamadu ki ain't a double kamashapir sharamam zal, the bemitzvah acha zoicha l'chai olam haba. He says, in other words, either the Rambam is saying something that's so simple that he doesn't have to say it, or we don't understand what the Rambam is saying at all. So what about Reb Chananya ben Akasha? So it says later, after he discusses the story of Reb Chananya ben Tradyain, he tells us his whole hashkafas olam about Lezakai says Yisrael Lefikach Hirba Lehem Torah Mitzvahs. What is the inyan of Ribui Torah Mitzvahs? So before that he tells us, how is it then that Reb Chananya ben Tradyan, who was so full of mitzvahs and had did so many mitzvahs in his life and was so nizer in Averis, should worry about his Olam Haba? Is not a kasha. But how he should say Klum yesh mitzvah achas biyotcha, and he answers, yeah, there was a maisa with tzedaka, and that's going to be my ticket to Gan Eden. That doesn't make any sense, unless you learn like the Rambam, that it's talking about doing a certain mitzvah to perfection. So the Maral does not, he's not satisfied with the Rambam's mahaloch. So how does he explain klum mitzvah maisa yesh biyotcha? What do you have to take with you when he has so many mitzvahs and he refrained from so many others? Vod Reb Chananya ben Tradyan. He asked Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, who was sick, but who maybe had special insight. He wants to know what's going to be with me. So Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyun was answered, In other words, the Maral Miprag is so not inclined in the derech of the Rambam that one mitzvah can do it, that he has to learn the story of Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon as follows. Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma was asking Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon, I want to know, what madrega are you really on? And it's an astonishing thing, because Lemaisa, he was one of the Gedolei Ador HaSaru Gemalchus. Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon, so how can you say, but he wants to know, am I zoichet techayol am abo? So he's telling him as follows, you're on a certain madrega, the whole world thinks that you're the biggest tzaddik in the world. Who are you for real? So he says, tell me a maisa, tell me something that you regard as extraordinary, as astonishing, and I'll know where you are holding in every mitzvah that you ever did. It's a remarkable thing. A remarkable approach. So he told him this maisa, that he went out of his way to spend his own money to be mechalik la'aniyim, that which perhaps he didn't have to. And you saw from here a mesiras nefesh in the begimul dvarim in nikar adam bekisei bekoisei bekasei, a special feeling for mitzvahs, a special feeling for aniyim, a special feeling for the rabbanu shalom, whatever it is, and that indicated the totality of his mitzvahs are on that level. The Keilu, if a person can do something like that, is the Chasimin that he's really taka, a very big Baal Madreig. And the remarkable thing about the Maral Miprag's approach, I think, is the following. Everybody knows that in certain Inyonim we can rise to the occasion, even though in other Inyonim we have tremendous Nisyonos, and we fail. There could be a person who gives Tzedakah to perfection, but in Inyonei Noshim, or Inyonei Estaklus, or Inyonei this, or Inyonei that, he's a disaster. And because he has Titus that he can't control, but when it comes to generosity, and the generosity of the Spirit is great. So it's very easy for him to do this. And in fact, he appreciates and understands it to perfection. So if you learn like the Rambam, you could maybe understand that such a person is Zoichet Olam Haba, maybe you'll have to pass through Gehen. You know, I always say that the distance... everybody goes to Gan Eden right away. But the Rishayim have to take the Cross Bronx Expressway.
You mean Gehenna? Yeah. I said Gan Eden just now.
I meant Gan Eden. But the Rishayim, to get to Gan Eden, have to take the Cross Bronx Expressway.
Which means it's what? So it's stuck
which means, right, they're stuck in traffic. So when you know what Gan Eden is, and you can't get there because of quote unquote, the car that's in front of you, then you understand what kind of Akmas Nefesh and Tsar that could be. You know, the Tsar, many Svarim write that Gan Eden is everybody's Chelek. But where you are in Gan Eden, there are Madregas and Madregas and Madregas. And who your companions are, Madregas, Madregas, Madregas. And then a person is shown, what's Gehenim? Gehenim is when a person is shown where he could have been in Gan Eden, and where he is in Gan Eden. And the tsar of the neshama is so nerva ayim that it's the worst kind of Gehenna. But whatever it is, the Rambam says that you are guaranteed through that one mitzvah, no matter what else. That's what the Rambam is mashma. A place in Chayei Olam Haba. Masha ein kein, if you did no mitzvah to perfection, and you have Averis. But the Maral Miprag is not satisfied with that, and he says, doing a mitzvah to perfection and doing a lot of Averis, it does not balance out to Chayei Olam Haba. And therefore he says, the story of Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon cannot be that this one mitzvah took you all the way. And therefore, the Maharal Prague insists that you have to understand that story differently, that the activity that he did at the time to be Mechalik the Mois La'aniyim is indicative of his whole Avodas Hashem. And it could be, what about my question? So it could be that Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma understood Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyan, and it's only with Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyan and Kedoy Maloy that he would be able to ask him, one example is a raya on everything. Could be other people, one example would be a raya only on those kind of things, but not on everything. But in any case, the mahalach of the Maharal remains what it is, that you have to have all the mitzvahs. So now he wants to know, va'od ani oimer, ki mash'oma klum maisa bo liyotcha. He says, the whole idea might be wrong, that when he said klum maisa bo liyotcha, he's not asking me, lo shayu ritzayne loimer mi maisa mitzvah akas yizke loy lamapa, she'ina dovakach. Avol ein biyom zeh kedusha klal. Purim is not a holy day. Va'achila v'ashesiyah hu dova gashmi me'inyon oylem hazeh, shu kuloi gashmi. V'nischalif mois elu b'mois aniyim. Shemois aniyim hefech zeh. Ki ha'ani yadua she'ein loy oylem hazeh klal. Very interesting uptight. We would say tzedaka is ruchnius. But he says, look at the ani himself. The ani has no oylem hazeh. V'einene mitoibas oylem hazeh. So he says that which was meant for Olam Hazeh, Moz Purim, for Achilu Shasiyah, was mixed up with Moz that were totally not Olam Hazeh, because they go to the Aniyim who had no Shaykhs to Olam Hazeh at all. And he's Chalfulei Moz Purim Shein, Kulei Olam Hazeh, B'moiz Aniyim Shein Lem Chelik B'Olam Hazeh, B'chilek HaKol Aniyim, V'dov Hazeh Remez, Shehu Yachlif HaOlam Hazeh B'Olam Haba, B'lo Yiyo Lei Chelik Klal B'Olam Hazeh. That same Gemara. And that's the ultimate plus. That there's nothing for you in Olam Hazeh, that means that everything is waiting for you in Olam Haba. Umehata ein raya klal, v'choz yakushin l'mekoyma b'mayma mefursam, ratzak ha'kadosh baruch hu l'zakos Yisrael, l'fikach hir bo lahem, Torah mitzvahs. So the Maharal Miprag, he had the broadest of shoulders, breit de pleitzes. He was able to say, not only that he doesn't agree with the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos, and not only that, one mitzvah is not going to be sufficient, no matter how well you do it, to simply catapult you to Olam Haba, but he takes the story of Klum Maisa Yesh B'Yodcha, and he interprets it, not allegorically, but he interprets it in a way that it reflects a certain Hashkafas Olam that is far beyond the basic technical details of the story. The story sounds like he could have been in a nisayon, that why should I give away all that money? Some of that money certainly is mine to use for Purim. So he says that what's going on here has nothing to do with a nisayon and mamonos, and how much you like to give tzedakah, or how important you understand chachlokas tzedakah laniyim, or how much you want that something should be totally impeccable without the shemetz of maybe a suffix of taking away from the aniyim. Has nothing to do with that at all. What is it? It's an idea, a concept. What's the concept? That my Olam Hazeh is nothing, and what I do is defined as complete and absolute preparation for Olam Haba. So how does that merumas in this? Because he says, Mois shel tzedakah for aniyim is lacking completely Olam Hazeh, because it's meant for people who have no shaykhus to Olam Hazeh. They get nothing from this world. They're just misery. And the Mois shel Yom Tov would be different if it was a Yom Tov shel Kedusha. But the Mois of Purim That is completely chulin, and that is the ultimate, representation of Olam Hazeh. So he took the money that he could have been defining as Olam Hazeh, and he defined it in the opposite as complete Olam Haba, and that reflects his personality, that's what he did all the time, and it's a hashkafa inyan, not so much a reflection on asiyas and mitzvahs particularly. And Memele, he said, Yeichel kecha chelki, because I wish I would be like that. And he says, that's exactly the same Reb Chananya ben Tradyaim, who was from the Asara Ruge Malchus, who was wrapped around in the Sefer Torah, and there are many other miseries in his life. The whole family of Chananya ben Tradyaim, Bruya, his sister, and this one and that one, the one Sarah, one tragedy after another. There was no Olam Hazeh. So he says, you're a person that you represent pure Olam Haba. And the Maisa is just a remiss to this. And that's what's going on. So Mila has nothing to do with how many mitzvahs you accomplished and whether you did it to perfection. It's a different story. You are here in this world, a Ben Olam Haba. That's what he wants to know. What is my relationship between this world and the world to come? So the Ramaral took the story completely out of the issue of Hibur Olam Torah mitzvahs. And he says, so we remain with that question. We remain with that question. So he says, "Vani oimek iloy kashya klal. Vani oimek iloy kashya klal ki mashi Yisrael heim muchonim el ha-Toyra hi madrega b'fnei atzma. Ki mipnei sheim muchonim el ha-Toyra k'mo shizbor l'mala ve'enam k'mo shar ha-umay s'ayb de kachavim she'enam muchonim la-Toyra v'im nosan lohem ma'at mitzvah s'loy hoya z'chus shalohem kol kach k'mo sheyesh lohem z'chus b'mash sheyesh lohem toyra sheyesh ba mitzvah harbe u'muchonim el mitzvah harbe. He says as follows. Here he says a very, very major yesod. He says when Rav Chananya ben Akashya said, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lizakos as Yisrael, he didn't mean he gave them a lot of mitzvahs so that they should get a lot of reward. Because if he gave them fewer mitzvahs and they did those mitzvahs over and over again, and they did them well, they would get the same reward or even more reward. So what is the uftu of ribuy ha-mitzvahs? So he says we have to understand something that's hovering in the background here, which we don't understand that. We don't understand Yisoidei HaYisoidos in the Hashkofa of Yiddishkeit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Torah with which it was the blueprint of the world, and he created the world with it. And he has human beings. And human beings, if they have a sgula, a capacity, an inclination to connect themselves to the Torah and its mitzvahs, they are inherently superior and inherently spiritual and inherently great. And that's what Lezakos Es Yisrael means. He created a Torah and he created a people that have a propensity to Torah, that have an inclination to Torah, that have a natural connectivity to Torah. He doesn't mean just learning Torah, he means Torah in its every aspect. And the Kiyum HaMitzvah Shabbat, of course, as well. So he says, that is why a child will go to Gan Eden even if he didn't have an opportunity to do mitzvahs. And even if he doesn't have a fully developed system of Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov and the Sionis, because he doesn't have an understanding at all. So why does he go to Olam Haba? He says, because the Yid goes to Olam Haba. In other words, that's like the a priori, the natural, the given, is that a Yid is Ben Olam Haba, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu connected the Yidin to the Torah. And that's Lezakos Es Yisrael. And he says a Torah that has many mitzvahs is different than a Torah that has a few mitzvahs. In what sense?
It's harder to do a lot.
No, but that's not what he's saying as follows. He's saying, imagine that you want to look at the world, and you're a biologist. So you will not be able to connect or to relate to the world of the stone or of the diamond or maybe even of the tree, because you're not a botanist, you're a biologist. And the chen lehefech. And if you're an astronomer, then what's going on in the smaller things, you can't relate to at all. On the other hand, if you're a molecular person, a molecular physicist, you can't relate to anything that's large. In this idea of having a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his Torah, the Torah represents every possible relationship, every possible opportunity of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists for a human being. So it's Moshe L'mahadav Adoyme that the brain has developed and spread with its dendrites, you know, with the it grows and grows and grows, and with that growing is a much greater capacity for comprehension, for appreciation, and so on. So the human being is not a behemoth, because the brain of the human being is different than the brain of the behemoth. He has abilities to relate to things that the behemoth also relates to, but with a different comprehension entirely. When there are many, many mitzvahs, it's a Torah that is rich. And the relationship to the Torah that's rich is a unique relationship, which is much greater than if the Torah was limited. Because the richness of the Torah really reflects the totality of reality, the totality of what God has created. So when Hashem makes the world through the Torah has to be ribui mitzvahs. So the ribui mitzvahs are a reflection of the vastness of the Torah, but that itself is a reflection of the incredible complexity of the relationship that he endowed Klal Yisrael with when he made them the Am HaTorah, the Am that's mesugol to receive the Torah. And that's what he says here, V'chein chas v'sholim loymar, sh'anachnu b'nei golus, ve'einonu yecholim l'kayim harbe mitzvahs, He says here a corollary to what he's saying, the remarkable thing. You have mitzvahs that even in the best of times you cannot do all tayag mitzvahs. Because we cannot be both male and female at the same time, Kohen Levi the Yisrael at the same time, in the Beis HaMikdash and in Eretz Yisrael at the same time as being in Chutz La'aretz and so on and so forth. We cannot be rich and poor at the same time. So an Ani cannot leave Lekat Shikhan Peya because he doesn't have a field. Neither can a Levi. So the whole idea of Ribui HaTorah, even under the best of circumstances, is just a relationship to a Torah that has in it all those mitzvahs. So he takes it one step further. What happens if these mitzvahs are cut off from us entirely because there is no Beis HaMikdash, because we are in Golos, and so on and so forth? So what about all those other mitzvahs that we can't do? What about the whole Seder of Zroim and Taris, which at his time was something that was not possible, where he was in Prague? He says the connection to them is because we're the Am HaTorah, and the Torah has all of these things. And the Ben Olam Haba idea of what a Jew is, and what a Jew is zoicha to, is not totally in what he does or what he's capable of doing at that given moment, but it's totally in the overarching complex of Torah, which is constant and forever, even though at that moment certain mitzvahs cannot be done, period. Such as Bizman Hazeh.
Sure, look, the
and then he writes, that's what he wants, that's what we have to work at. What is Mukhanim? What does Mukhanim mean? What does Mukhanim mean? Prepared. That's the question.
It usually means prepared.
Yeah, Mukhanim means prepared, but Mukhanim here, prepared, doesn't mean that we have to do things to become prepared. We are naturally endowed in such a way that we are the perfect vessels to connect to the Torah. That's Mukhanim el HaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'moshul, you have a pipe and it has to fit in, you know, the male into the female of the pipe. So the idea is that sometimes it fits perfectly, and sometimes it's too tight and you can't get it in, and sometimes it's too loose and it falls out all the time. This idea of a perfect fit, that's Muchanu. Klal Yisrael are the perfect fit for the Torah. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael the Torah, He gives an entire Klal Yisrael an entire Torah. What we actually do is not necessarily indicative of our relationship to the Torah. And furthermore, even when it's impossible to do, it doesn't change the essential relationship to the Torah. So our relationship in Olam Hazeh to the Torah does not change whether we are in Eretz Yisrael or in Golos, whether we have the Beis HaMikdash or we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't even change Bizman Shoysim Mitzayinah, Bizman She'enem Oysim Mitzayinah. Because it's a principle, it's a Yesod in reality, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Torah and He created a Klal Yisrael that's Mukhanim El HaTorah.